This is We Are What We Overcome. What you're about to hear are the ramblings and reflections of three ordinary people, drawing on their own personal and occasionally professional experiences. These conversations are unprepared, subjective, and should not be taken as medical advice or instruction. Anyone seeking help should always carry out their own research, or better yet, speak to a professional about their circumstances.
Hi, welcome back to We Are What We Overcome, a podcast talking about mental health. We are here today on a glorious sunny day. Is it the hottest day of the year so far?
I think it might be.
It's warm. I mean, it's nothing on last year, so, you know, we can suck this up and deal with it, I think. We are back today to have a chat about mental health and stuff. It has been a little while since we've caught up properly, so we're going to extend our usual check-in into the big fat check-in. And see actually how we've been doing, because we've all had an interesting couple of months, and this seems like a good chance to
quiz of the year.
Yes, exactly like that. Yeah, and there's only one question: it's how are you? And we'll answer that question all the way through for the next
as long as
amount of time. I don't ever want to hear that laugh again. It's horrible.
We Are What We Overcome on this occasion features musician Matt McGuinness, improviser Nick Tyler, and psychotherapist Wes Evans. Sit back, enjoy, and remember, it's good to talk.
Never heard a laugh that sounds so fake in my life. Creepy. Like a weird porcelain doll in a horror movie. That's how they would laugh, and that's how Jimmy Carr laughs, and I think they're the same person. So... we should do some form of introductions as well. Should we do introductions instead of our usual check-in, and then get into like the depth of who we of how we feel, rather than having like a 10-second how we feel and then a 10-minute how we feel? So I am Nick. I am improviser and stuff based in Nottingham. I like Lego. Adding a random detail about my life. Wes, how
you like Lego? I am Wes. I am based in the north, in sunny Lancashire. I'm a psychotherapist, but also a performer and entertainer of various kinds. Lego's all right.
We're going to fight when we meet up next.
So I'm Matt. I'm a big fan of whiskey.
Nice.
Which is also a form of Lego, I think you'll find. We'll get into that later.
Never stepped on whiskey in the dark, but okay.
You know, you never be the right parties, and have you? And I'm what am I? I don't know. I'm a musician, and I get involved in the community quite a bit, and other stuff, I guess.
That's very succinct. Not mentioning that you do a live show that's connected to this podcast, which you're touring around the country, and you've written a book that's also related to this podcast, which you're also promoting.
Yes, that's right. Those things.
The absolute spanner. Very good.
Helps him figure, I suppose.
Yeah, because
you've been very silent. What is up with us this morning? The three of us seem very hesitant, don't we? I don't know if it's because
we're about in sync, aren't we? We've not chatted in a while, so we're all kind of feeling our way back into it, I think.
Yeah.
We're going to draw ourselves back into synergy.
Yeah.
I'm talking about how we've been. Actually, maybe we could start with Matt, because you have been doing a lot that's related both to this podcast and mental health in general. And it might be nice to have a little bit of an update of what you've been doing since we last caught up, as well as how you are.
Okay. Go. So the quick version is I sort of forgot actually about we did so we've only done a couple of the shows. Most of the shows are towards the live shows towards the end of the year, and I was in Swindon the other day, and we'd obviously it's quite a distance to travel, and we set up and then we do the show, and I'd almost forgotten about the afterwards bit. I always seem to forget about the bit afterwards, and you know, the conversation with human beings. And it's weird, but it just hits me every time. It does catch me unaware. I think it's because you just can't get used to the openness of strangers. You know, it's quite a thing, isn't it? And I don't really want to go into the details too much, but there was one particular person who was really patient and waiting and stuff. And it just really struck me, you know, why he'd come to the show and that he wanted to have a conversation. And it just made me feel like it made me remember one of the reasons why I did it. You know, it was ace, but it didn't off. felt very stupid afterwards because it just caught me really unaware, you know, really off guard. Like it never happened before.
You've been doing the show for a while, haven't you, Matt? Because I actually came to watch it. Well, I'm going to guess, but it must have been like a couple of years ago.
Yeah. It's different there, I think. Well, when it is different.
Actually, it'll be more than a few years ago, yeah. So, yeah, I suppose I was wondering kind of how it's evolved and what the main focus is now. I know that it started out as you telling your story of the time where you first went to Edinburgh, and it's sort of kind of your own mental health and journey. Is it still that, or is it more than that now?
Yeah, well, it's probably more, you know, it's better written, and obviously it's got a band on it now, and you know, it looks much better, and I think it delivers in much better than it ever has been. There's sort of it pulls it all back in. So before I was slightly, it was quite short. Now it's sort of 2 hours long, and but it pulls it back in at the end. So it goes talks about going back to Edinburgh, and that to me was really important because it was
like coming full circle.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I suppose you got to be careful not to sound too naff, but it was just nice to reflect on how bad I felt going for a week, and then how great I felt going for a month. So you know, you'd think it would be on the surface, it would sound like it'd be much worse to go for 4 weeks away from your family and stuff. But obviously, it was the frame of mind I was in, and people, and also having people come to the show and having mates come up and actually know what you're doing. Who'd have thought that's pretty good as well. It's quite a good experience.
And I was also just thinking 4 weeks away from the family sounds amazing.
That's what I thought Matt was going to say. Yeah, it sounds like 4 weeks away was much easier. Yeah.
That was the odd bit, but it was just, you know, really, really sort of made me understand loads of things, which are obviously fairly obvious to people. I'm just a bit slow on the uptake sometimes, like that whole match fit thing, you know. So after about a week and a half of doing the shows, it felt completely different to me, because when we went out and did the shows after a week and a half, it was like my room that people are in, whereas before that it was like, you know, a bit nervous, a bit unsure of it, whereas after, you know, about 10 days or probably less, it just felt much better. And I think the delivery was miles better, because I wouldn't say you're blasé about it, but you know, you can write so much into it. You can go.
Yeah, you were very confident when I saw you. Very confident when I saw you. Well, that helps too. There is something about taking the enjoyment of taking ownership of whatever your creative endeavor is, where you do feel that you belong and that you own it and that you're delivering it, and everyone else is a guest at your event, rather than you having shambled into some room that other people have also accidentally fallen into. That's a really good feeling. It's good to feel.
I don't know if it was before on the podcast, but there was a review, I think, that we got later on by The Scotsman. So that's, you know, a fairly big paper. By a guy who is quite involved in the mental health things around Scotland. And it was a sort of mixed review. You know, some of it was very good and some of it was almost underselling what we were doing. And you know, I think probably last time or before that, I would have been bothered. But actually, it just made me laugh, and I've started to incorporate it into the show now as well. Because he was basically, it was daft. I spoke to Nick about this. It was like a review. It was really nice, and he said loads of nice things. And at the end, he says he's not too sure if it's a theatre show. It's more a series of stories about mental health with no particular outcome. And I was like, well, that's what it says on the poster, pretty much.
And the whole point of a review is to very selectively pick out the words that you want. It's a series of stories about mental health. Brilliant. That's your review. Great. You can delete the rest of it and not worry about it.
But the idea
I think that went well.
Mental health as well is just a bit strange. Like, you know, as though, I think we talked about it before, haven't we? Like, there'll be a point where you're fixed and you don't need to see a therapist and you're absolutely fine, and that's like there's an ending to it. I found it a bit strange.
That is odd. That was all last year. How are you doing now? Because I know you've been continuing. I saw the book launch in February. I think, and that was really good. Lovely, so full house for that.
It was great, wasn't it? And we've only done about three or four shows, and we've done obviously other things as well. Most of the shows are September, October, November. And that was, you know, but I found it really hard, actually. It's hard work promoting it. But again, we brought that into the show the other night. So we were chatting with the audience and saying, it's great, isn't it? Saturday night. And we persuade you to come out, part with your money, and have a listen to someone talk about depression. Yeah. Well done, you. So it is a hard sell, you know. I mean, the theatres you go to, and they're all like cover bands, you know, Kate Bush, I don't know what it's called, Barking at the Moon, whatever her album's called, Cloud Squashing or something. It's something like that, isn't it? Anyway.
I don't know.
And, you know, like cover bands like Four Seasons, or they're called the Five Seasons, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff seems to sell, or comedy seems to sell quite well. But anything that's original or a bit not straightforward, I think everyone's having a problem getting an audience for. So we'll see how it works out, but it's been an eye opener, that's for sure, you know.
That's cool. And how have you been feeling it during that time? Because you have been busy and running around. It's part of your mental health check in here, Mr. Matt.
Yeah, so
I demand answers.
Yeah, well, the short version, I've been fairly rough for quite a while, up till about three or four weeks ago, and then things seem to have got better. Don't know why, no rhyme or reason. I'm sure there is. There's something to do with something. But things are a lot more in perspective. So I think, do you know, it's about the heart attack thing as well, that I think it's really put forward in my mind about, you know, now I was getting niggles anywhere, and before I'd be like that, whatever. You know, just like I'm getting older, or I've put my foot in the wrong way, or I've done this, or I've eaten something, and then there was a point for quite a while after the heart attack, you get a niggle and you think, I'm going to die! I'm going to die from an ambulance! You know, and you find it's like a pin, back of a pin that's been stuck in your chest or something, or, you know, something daft. And I think that's the thing I've been trying to get over, the fact that I might not die, because we will, won't we? But, you know, not really to, it's highly unlikely to be that thing. And why am I spending all my time worrying about, is this the thing? Is this the thing? Rather than just getting on with it.
I think that's quite a common reaction to having something significant happen, physical health. Yeah. It's not quite understandable, really, isn't it? You know, it's kind of like, well, now that's on your radar. It's extra on your radar, isn't it?
You've got to get past quite.
It sounds really wearing.
But I think there's a certain amount of like coming to afterwards that is probably normal.
Yeah, I think up to last week I've been doing quite a lot of exercise, and that sort of brings it home, because you think, you know, like before, if I try and point to when I try to do some exercise or more exercise, because I do quite a bit anyway. But, you know, get really out of breath and your heart's really pumping. Whereas before I would have thought, oh, that's great, isn't it? I'm going to feel great in about an hour and I'll go for a pint. Whereas now I'm thinking, do I really want to get to that point? You know, and I do think...
I love your exercise regime. 10K run, go to the pub.
The other option is just to go to the pub. You know, let's be honest. You know, it's you cut one of it out.
So there's like an extra layer of caution or something, then, is there?
Yeah, but I definitely. I mean, that's the target for me, just to get past, because you can't carry on like that, can you? It's just. Do you get people like that come to see you a lot, Wes?
Say again.
Is that a big thing with people that come to see you?
What, specifically kind of following, having some kind of health scare or like health?
Yeah, not being able to get past it.
I wouldn't say that it's like a very specific thing that loads of people have come to see me personally about, but I do think there have been, like, I suppose, different versions or equivalents of kind of this thing has happened, and now that makes me a bit edgy around that topic kind of thing. Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. You get it even in trivial things, don't you? Like, when I've broken my hand a few times, and obviously I'm not concerned that I'm going to die because my hand gets stretched. But certainly for like the year after doing it, it's like, oh, lifting quite a heavy weight and you feel like a click in your hand. You're like, oh, is that just a knuckle popping? Or is that my hand separating again in a very bad way? And it does linger. I mean, it's really trivial compared to having a heart attack. But I think the kind of the excess of caution that you feel that you're forced into and having to think about it is really tiring. And having to be concerned about what's going on just adds this extra layer of grief to an ordinary day. I'm sorry to hear that, Matt.
How are you now?
All right. Much better than when we attempted to catch up to record this last week when I was nearly dead and then broke my laptop. So since I saw you guys last, I've talked for a while about trying to stop taking my sleeping tablets, which is amitriptyline, which I've been on for, I think, 13 years or something like that, which is quite a high dose for sleep disorder and anxiety and general depression and stuff. More or less the same time that I went into counseling for sexual abuse and a whole bunch of other things, but mostly just to get me to sleep because I don't sleep on my own. But it's been bugging me for a long time that I'm on these drugs, that I don't really want to be on extra drugs. I mean, I'm on a lot of stuff anyway for a number of chronic conditions, so a few more pills shouldn't be a bad thing. But I've always kind of fretted that stuff that, like amitriptyline, changes who you are in order to do what it does. So in order to sleep, I'd need to be less anxious, need to chill out or do whatever. And I've always fretted that's kind of flattened out my emotional state so I don't get super happy, don't get gruelingly sad. And I was always curious, you know, whether or not that what would happen if I stopped taking them. And I figured about 6 weeks ago that maybe now's a good time because I work from home. My job's pretty stable. If I can't sleep for one night, it'll probably be okay because I've got quite supportive colleagues. So I had a chat with the doc about this and he's like, well, I don't think it's going to do anything, but if you want, cool. Thank you for your support, doctor. That's fine. And started to, you know, taper down. So you do a week on 2/3 and a week on 1/3 of the dose and then nothing.
What did he mean that he didn't think it was going to do anything?
His view was that it was already such a low dose compared to what I used to be on that it shouldn't really be affecting my emotional state. It should just be getting me to sleep.
Oh, right.
Okay. Sorry? Right. Yeah. It should just knock me out. But there's quite a long sleep lag and weird hangover with amitriptyline sometimes until I finally fall asleep, which isn't a very useful chunk of my day. And then I feel kind of hungover in the morning for like an hour or so and find it very hard to get out of bed. So I thought maybe I could do without all of these things. Turns out no. is a short version. I had a bunch of very, very ropey weeks of a week of sleeping on alternate nights, which is not great. Did get some reading done, so that was good. Mostly I was trying not to get really angry about not sleeping because I knew it might happen. And being furious about not sleeping will most assuredly keep you awake. So I managed to kind of dispel that, but overall it was really quite miserable. I kept a kind of mental health journal while I was doing it on my website just to try and get some sense of how I was feeling. And mostly I was quite chipper, but I wasn't sleeping enough. And by the end of it, even though I was sleeping eventually by about 3 or 4 in the morning, it wasn't for long enough. And it was just crushing me. And I realized in the last week that I was becoming really heavily disengaged from everything and really detached and couldn't connect to my colleagues in work and just losing interest in everything. Because I just don't think I had enough stuff to keep going with in order to function and do everything that I need to do or that I want to do. And including a couple of weekends away and events that were just not great because I couldn't get my shit together and stay functional or cogent enough to really enjoy them or be the person that I really wanted to be. So I went back on them last weekend. That's really good, guys. I sleep. I just go to sleep and then I wake up and it's quite hard to get up, but I've been asleep. It's really nice. And I'm immediately much more connected and engaged and interested. So I guess that was a pointless experiment, maybe.
Pointless though.
I don't know. I mean, I know. I mean, I know. I don't, you know, now I know what it does.
Yeah.
Which is useful, but I don't think it's been great for anyone that I spend time with, like me.
That your first kind of thing was, well, maybe I'd like to try it because I have this feeling that it's kind of restricting me emotionally, shall we say.
Mm.
And then when you've tried it, the sleep thing's been so bad that that's actually been more detrimental to you emotionally, hasn't it? Because the
yes.
way you just finished that was, and it's great because now I feel connected and da-da-da-da-da. So it's almost like this extra perspective has changed how you viewed the state you were in originally or something.
Yeah, I think you're right. It validates the medical approach, which is quite nice. Yeah, as the verb are frequently wrong on all of these things. The drugs do work, and I like them, and I'll continue to take them. Thank you very much, Mr. Verve. I think you are incorrect in your premises and your conclusions. But it is good to check these things out, and it's not something that I would do with like my blood pressure medication or my asthma meds. But having done it, I'm fairly content to stick my sleeping tablets in the same kind of mental category.
Isn't it? And you've had to see what it was like for you and check what the situation was for you. That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm lucky to have had the opportunity to do so.
Mm. When did you start taking them again, Nick?
About 13 years ago, something like that. 13 years ago.
When did you restart taking them?
Oh, last weekend. Because I was so wrecked from trying to go to Bath and do the Star Wars show and do a board games convention. I was like, I can't do this.
That could just be the board game convention, though. You know that, don't you? They're not...
Yeah, it could have been, yeah. It's just, oh, my God. These
games for a reason.
Ah, nonsense. You're wrong, Mr. Matt. They're wonderful things.
Took some
you just
whiskey.
Keep playing it. Stop Matt, playing Ludo Matt, and Monopoly. And then you'll enjoy it. Yeah, play good games.
I'm okay. There are probably ups and downs, really. There's a few things going on, so if I'm really honest, I'm probably feeling the pressure of bits of it and at the point of overwhelm here or there. At the moment, right at this very minute, broadly speaking, I'm okay. I think I need a holiday. I think I need some headspace. I think I need to think about a few things and make some decisions about a few things. So I'm in that kind of space, really. In one way or another, in a few different areas of life, there's just some stuff going on and bits of frictions and pressures and strains and things. So I'm feeling it. But I'm going to do something about it, I suppose. Whether that's making a decision about this thing over here and addressing that thing there and just kind of taking some time out. I need a holiday. I definitely need a holiday.
You need a dip in some cold water.
I need what, sorry?
A dip in some cold water.
Dip in some cold water, yeah.
Yeah, not while you're asleep. We're not going to put your hand in some water in a bowl while you're asleep. That just seems mean.
It's the bad.
How have you been coping with that? Because I know maybe these things aren't all massive, but combined, they can weigh upon one, can't they? If you've got a whole bunch of decisions and things.
Well, and they're not insignificant things, actually, necessarily. Mm. You know, so they're significant things. But you're right, altogether, that kind of, times 10 kind of thing. So that's probably why I really have been feeling it. How I've been coping. Fortunately, I think in one of our last conversations, which is some time ago, isn't it? But I was talking about how I was kind of renewed a promise to myself to just take better care of myself in several senses of the word, you know, which does include a bit of exercise and watching what I'm eating. Being mindful of that, but also taking time out and allowing myself some things that are good for me and that I enjoy and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's helping, I suppose, because I've still been able to mostly do that. whilst it just so happens that some of this stuff started to be going on, you know. So I guess that's the main thing that's been helping.
Sounds good. Maintaining.
And more recently, like this week kind of thing, having some conversations with certain people about certain things, whether it's raising an issue directly with a person or, on the other hand, having a good vent to another person about something else, a mixture of things, really. I know I sound all very cryptic, potentially.
It does sound very suspicious.
But a few different things going on, I suppose.
Well, the world of international espionage sounds very exciting, Wes. I'm glad you're still immersed in it.
Just.
Oh no.
It
reminds me how much like trying to maintain your routine helps, because I think that's all that got me through the sleeping thing. I would still get up and do the exercise. Still got those damn kettlebells that you taught me into buying.
Are you still doing it?
Every day.
You feel the benefit.
Yep. Yeah, powerful. But yes, I mean, I do feel physically stronger, which is nice. It's nice to start the day the same way, I think. And even when like I'm having had no sleep, I'd still get up and do it.
Wow.
And then doing some writing helped a lot as well. Just trying to analyze one's inner states and all that kind of jazz. Very self-indulgent as a process, but quite enjoyable.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe we need to be a little bit self-indulgent sometimes, and being selfish gets a bad rap, but you kind of need to be selfish to a certain degree, don't you? Because if you don't take
care of
yourself, you can't carry on doing everything else that you're doing. But
I guess importantly, you can be selfish without being a dick.
Absolutely. Yeah,
be clear about when you're being selfish.
It's really good to check in with you both. And I suppose another thing we said we were going to do is like look forward a little bit, weren't we? And I suppose I'm just thinking, and there's some stuff in what we've just been saying, each of us, that would probably be good topics to pick up in future episodes.
Self-indulgence. I like it. Yes. We could just do the seven deadly sins.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
There probably is something in all of those actually that would be quite interesting to talk about.
Is that all there is? Seven. Can't we make more? That'd be better, wouldn't it?
Some extra ones.
Oh, you're like, there aren't enough.
26 deadly sins. That's what we want.
I don't know what else you could put in, like, or just general pettiness, things like that.
I've had no time for writing recently, and it's definitely had an effect. Mm. And I keep thinking I've got to make myself some time to do that, but I still haven't.
We did a previous episode on time, didn't we?
It's slippery and elastic nature. How it lies to us constantly.
Motivation. Maybe we should speak about motivation at some point going forward, if we can be bothered.
Wah, wah, wah. Similarly prevarication if we get around to it. Yeah. I like those things. But we do have stuff to look forward to anyway, don't we? Because we're going to be meeting up in person a bit more this over the next few months.
Yeah, what have we got planned? Potentially something in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And hopefully going to Crosby Beach, to another place in Liverpool, to have a wander around and look at Sir Anthony Gormley's naked butt. That'll be obviously interesting.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
He's got a nice butt, is what you meant.
Okay. What do you think will be the topic of discussion for the Crosby Beach one?
Oh, that's a good idea, isn't it?
Mm. It was you that wanted to go there, wasn't it, Matt?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that's always struck me about the place is that the fact that it was meant to be a temporary thing, wasn't it? You know, and the guy who made it was meant to be all these perfectly formed statues, 6'2" statues of himself, all exactly the same. But obviously, because the locals campaigned and they kept it, and it's been there for years now, that they've all changed, you know, so in a way that he never meant it to happen. And so they're all, rather than being 100 all the same, they're all different.
Maybe change is a good topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, intentional and unintentional.
Say again.
It's the only dick joke in the show is about the you know, not being as erect as they once were, that kind of thing, you know.
It's very restrained.
Thank you.
but yeah, try to cut it out.
I like that. still in. I like that idea. The fact that the maker intended them all to be exactly the same and had a timescale for them, and that went awry, and they're much better because of it. You know?
Well, that
I love that subject. Kind
of how we respond to our environment as well. There's perhaps something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I love that general human persistence. Challenges of expectations.
Yeah. We're also threatening to do some kind of activity or experience thing, aren't we? And one idea was that maybe we would take part in one of these big sleep out things that happen.
Yeah.
Where we sleep outdoors.
Yeah.
We're always trying to either talk about a specific theme, aren't we? But what we've been saying is that with the face-to-face meetups, that we would kind of like to make a bit more out of them and some kind of event, whether it's linking with an organization, tying in with a cause or something that's happening, etc., etc.
Yeah. I think Edinburgh is quite interesting because I think we're going to link in with quite a lot of organizations. Yeah. So it'd be really good to find out what they're doing, you know.
Yeah. Don't you also want to plunge us into the Scottish Sea or something early in the morning?
That would be good, yeah. I mean, what besides swearing, what would be the mental health conversation you had if you walked straight into the Scottish Sea with nothing but your budgies on? You know, what's going to come to mind there?
Are you mad?
Rage. Rage. Why am I so cold? But yeah, I think that'll be fascinating to explore how we feel in an extreme situation, I guess. An extreme situation that we didn't need to be in, but have nonetheless put ourselves in.
Yeah. I think I'll bring PTN sprays with me. So I've got one myself, and each of you have got one. So you can spray it in my mouth, lower my blood pressure, and stop the heart attack that I have. Step into the sea.
Oh, that's an exciting prospect.
Like, why did I do this?
Oh, that's cool. So you think we're going to record a podcast in which you maybe die? Awesome. Yeah, very exciting.
Neil record properly. That would be good.
Quite a while. I'm looking forward to it.
Turns out we weren't recording.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, one more time. Reset.
Suddenly it becomes
that sounds great.
I don't think you're supposed to stay in too long, are you? I mean, it's like isn't it like a 5-10 minute thing rather than anything else?
I don't know. Swimming off the coast of Scarborough in late October was pretty cold. Oh. I stayed in for far too long.
How long did you stay in for?
Like 25 minutes.
Oh my God.
Swimming, but got out, and it wasn't a warm day, but just whatever natural coastal breeze felt like the solar wind warming me up wonderfully. I'd made friends with this guy who was drinking a can of lager and having a spliff on the beach at, this is like 7 a.m, and I thought, can I leave my bag of stuff with you? And he's like, yeah, cool mate, cool. And as I came out of the sea, presumably either bright red or bright blue, I don't know which, presumably in the early stage of hypothermia, he came running over with my towel.
Oh, no. Did you rub the spliff off him?
Well, I can't talk about such things anymore. I have a professional job and everything. But I did have some of the Kestrel lager. That helped.
Oh, cool.
It's more acceptable to say you had a spliff.
I did. It probably is. I don't know. But we had a lovely time, my towel man and I. It was very nice. Anyway, I think we're pretty much there, aren't we, guys?
Yes. Nice checking in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's been nice to catch up with you.
We've got some good stuff coming up, haven't we?
Yes.
Look forward to seeing you in person.
Mm-hmm. Hugs, beers, etc. Mm-hmm. All very important.
So we've got one more online, and then we've got two in-person ones, I think, haven't we?
I think that's right, yes. So we'll be catching up in... what month is this? This is June, isn't it? Sometime in July. I can't remember. Talking about some more stuff, and that will be very exciting.
Cool.
And then to the Fringe.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I suppose if anybody has any ideas for topics, events, da 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 da.
Accommodation.
Yeah. Well, I didn't just mean for Edinburgh. I guess I meant just the podcast episodes. But yeah, absolutely, accommodation for Edinburgh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have a flat that could accommodate a whole bunch of people, we'd happily take it off you for free. That would be lovely. Or a small reimbursement and a chat about your mental health. It's like one of those little coupon books that you give people at Valentine's night. So instead of like a free massage, it's like a good chat. We can do that.
One hug.
Oh, that sounds good. Well, I'm glad you boys are doing all right. Go forth. Enjoy the weather. It is nice and sunny out there. I'm going to stay inside.
Okay.
I'll talk to you all very soon. Goodbye. Exhausted
with some great. If you've been affected by anything that we've talked about tonight, that's cool. We were kind of hoping you would be. If you haven't been affected by anything tonight, then that's great too. You're probably fine. Of course, if you say you're fine, there's a good chance you aren't. So you might also have been affected. And if you've been affected before, you probably will be again. Please talk to someone. It can get better, and together we can survive. We are what we overcome. And this poor little boy, grounded by the sun, paler by his side, for something strife.
Where's the goddamn button gone? There it is. They've moved it again.